in case anyone was in deep thought.
I think we've reached the witching hour of 5 o'clock, so I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. Sally, if you could please call the roll.
Sure. William Capco?
Here.
Tom McCarthy?
Here.
Christopher Keller?
Here.
Cheryl Snyder?
Here.
Pamela Warslagle?
Here.
Thomas Baird?
Tom, here.
Okay, we have a quorum. The first item on the agenda is approval of the May 16th meeting minutes. Do we have any corrections to the minutes?
None. Question except the minutes?
Was this sent out before, or is this?
I think this was just online, part of the agenda package, I think, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm not sure, because I know there were some differences between what I thought was at our last minutes and what ended up in the report. Oh, I printed out this one.
Didn't we have some discussion about if signed by 10 or 20% of the voters, that's Article 9, Section 2, if signed by 10 or 20% of the voters, that was a little bit...
Well, you may have had discussion about those items, but the minutes don't have to reflect all of the discussion that took place. The minutes are supposed to kind of capsulize the discussion that took place.
I see.
So, I mean, and the report that I did was based upon the minutes.
Went into more detail.
But as committee member Schneider pointed out, for example, in the town attorney section, I added by contract, which wasn't part of your discussion. So, but I don't know if that's in the minutes.
So these are really two totally different.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So if there's no true errors in the minutes and they summarize things accurately, we can approve the minutes. And then if there are issues with what's in Tom's report that you may have, you know, disagreement with or something, that's what we can, after we deal with the minutes, that's what we can go through and see if there are any issues that we need clarification on.
So did you then generate, just as a procedural clarification, did you go, was this taped, and then that you went through the tapes to get the changes that you included in here? Because if they're not included in here, we're...
If you deal with the minutes, I'll explain to you what I did to come up with my report.
Okay. Because they are not the same, for sure. Well, I thought that the minutes would be the basis for writing this memo.
Okay, well, if you have corrections to the minutes or additions to the minutes based on your recollection of the meeting, the clerk can check the recording and determine whether or not your recollection of what was said at that meeting is accurate, and she can put that in the minutes.
Okay, for instance, Section 2, we said if signed by 10, it says here in the minutes, if signed by 10 or 20% of voters. And that is not scratched out. That's not.
Where are
yet
you?
On Article 9. But then you go into the into the report that you did, and it was, it, we said, down here on section three, it says, saying if signed from 10 to 20%, we took that out. I think that what we had decided was that we didn't want that 10 or 20% for it to be so arbitrary as that.
Well, the clerk can check the recording, and if that is what was said by the committee, then she can add that to the minutes.
Well, but okay, but it must have been said if under, right up here under section two, it says disposition of petition if signed by 20% of the voters. All of a sudden, it jumped to 20% of the voters.
Right.
Okay, and we were having, and so, and if you didn't even put that in the minutes, then where did you get the 20%? Did it jump to 20%?
I don't know.
Did you write this report?
I listened to the recording. I listened, I reviewed the minutes drafted by the clerk, and I did a report. And this is the report that I did. There was no attempt by doing this report to be misleading or to unfairly characterize what anyone said. It is the best compilation of what transpired at your meeting that I could create. But right now, we're dealing only with the minutes.
I understand that. I guess my only concern is, though, if we say we approve the minutes, and I feel that there are things that are in the report that differ from that, am I saying I'm approving this, and I'm not, am I somehow saying that it's okay even though there are things that I think I'm not okay with? I mean, that's kind of the thing. Is it some sort of stamp of approval by agreeing to the minutes?
It's a stamp of approval just of the minutes, not of Tom's report. And if you differ with things that are in Tom's report that do not differ from what the summation of what occurred is in Sally's minutes, then you approve the minutes and we discuss Tom's report and any place where one of us thinks that there was a, it's not clear, he's not clearly presented what you thought happened.
Right, and there's some things in here that I don't think are clearly presented and that were in this memo. That's my hesitancy. Like, am I gonna say, oh, this is fine, but then I have a question about what's in the report. So on the one hand, I'm saying it's fine, but then the next hand, I'm gonna come back and say it's not fine.
Okay, well, let me try this one more time.
This is a draft report.
Is there anything in the minutes themselves, the minutes as presented, that you don't agree with? That's what we're discussing now.
Okay, so the last section that says there was no consensus on term limits, as I read it, we had three members who supported no more than five 3-year term limits, and that was a consensus that's a 3-2. So I'm not sure that's an accurate presentation of what was discussed. So someone's going to read this is going to think, oh, well, nobody could agree on anything, but really three people thought it was okay, and two people thought it wasn't. So is that's not an accurate representation for someone reading those minutes?
Well, then the clerk can go back and listen to the recording again, and if that turns out to be the case, she can change it to reflect the minutes. If you want to postpone the minutes or you want to approve pending the clerk's confirmation of what the minutes said on term limits. Either way.
And on the article 9.
Sally, yes. You have a comment?
Just for clarification, the comment under number 3 that says Mr. Baird summarized there was not a consensus to support term limits. That was what he was reading from. These minutes are taken, we went point by point from the May 14th memo, and the first sentence, he was letting you know where we were on that memo, and then there was discussion after. So that's where we started with those items. You remember how that meeting went? And I did check the tape on all the items that were in question, but these are your minutes. If you want to have some changes or want me to check something, I'll be glad to. But that's where the discussion started. It's not where it ended, just to be clear.
Okay.
That was helpful.
You may have mine.
But in the introduction of it, am I reading this wrong? It says, Section B discusses items for which there did not seem to be support or clear consensus. So there is a judgment drawn there as to what the result of the meeting, the end result of the meeting.
Where are you in the minutes?
In the introduction of it.
Page 4, you
mean? No, page 1 of the May 14th memo.
I just have the minutes.
Pardon?
Well, if you look at the way it's divided in sections A and B, so section B is that items for which there would not appear to be support or clear consensus. So instead of just, it suggests that there was a result and not just a...
Well, you can have your result tonight. I mean, if three members support term limits, then do that tonight. But right now, you're just dealing with the minutes, not the draft report. If you think my draft report is inaccurate, you can correct anything in that draft report tonight. That's the purpose of this meeting.
No, I understand that, but my concern is that council member is going to read the minutes and is going to come away with one impression, and that impression may differ from be different than what the report says. I just want to make sure that it's not confusing about what people really said. And
well,
because this definitely does infer that these are the results, the final results of the meeting. It is not where we started and isn't telling us where we finished. It is, this infers, this first paragraph, this memo presents items discussed at your meeting, da-da. And section B discusses items for which there was did not seem to be support or clear consensus. So that is very clearly saying that there was not clear consensus on these items that are in section B, when in fact there was. So what Sally was saying is that it was just what we started with. No, this is the completed meeting or minutes for the whole meeting. So I struggle as well with approving the minutes because I don't think that they're indicative of what we actually what transpired.
Is there a certain section or?
I just pointed out one and she pointed out another one.
A motion can be made on the minutes to accept them with changes, postpone them, whatever the pleasure of the board is, and you can vote on that motion, whatever that is.
Well, you know, I'm getting a little concerned that we're spending all this time on just trying to adopt the minutes. We're going to have minutes of this meeting that the council is going to get. So anything that you think that there's inferences that are not what you agree with, you have every opportunity to clarify those or where you want to correct the town attorney or the town clerk. You have the opportunity to say that at this meeting. And that's why I understand that this is why this meeting was called. We didn't think there was going to be another meeting, but you guys raised some issues that you didn't agree with what I guess was in Tom's report that inadvertently went to the council before us. And so I understood that, and I said, I agree, let's go ahead and have a meeting to try to clarify that stuff so that we're all on the same page, even if we're not on the same page on what we think should happen. But so I think, you know, you're going to have an opportunity to try to correct anything that you think is mistaken.
But the subject at hand was approving these minutes. So you feel comfortable?
Not that memo, no. The minutes.
The minutes, approving the minutes,
and,
yes.
And so far, all your concerns have been about things in Tom's memo.
No, it's the fact that they're not consistent. But I mean, fine, you can make a motion, and if I'm not comfortable approving the minutes, I don't have to approve the minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
Does anybody in a position want to make a motion on that?
I did. made the motion already. We discussed it, but yeah, the commission accepted the minutes as they are outlined.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
If
not, Sally, you want to poll the commission?
Sure. William Capco?
Yes.
Tom McCarthy?
Yes.
Christopher Keller?
Yes.
Cheryl Snyder?
No.
Pam Morschlagel?
No.
Okay, motion carries 3-2, which will be reflected in the minutes. Okay, now to get to the action that we're here for tonight, it's to make final recommendations on select issues where there was some disagreement or feeling that the recommendations as presented were not clear or accurate. So do we want to proceed, Tom, based on a quick run through of the points in your June 7th memo? Do you think that's step by step of where there's any agreement or disagreement, and not wasting time on the things we all agree on that we've already discussed twice?
I guess so. I mean, you all have it in front of you. If you don't believe that the draft memo accurately reflects the action or discussion, then please correct it.
Can I make a proposal that we just go through
to address to the chair?
Could we just go through her list, through Cheryl's list that she sent? Because that'd be much more efficient to just go through those, because she's itemized all the areas where there are concerns.
Okay, well, we can start there, and then I don't know if everybody's seen those comments, but they were part of the backup. And then if there are any points that the other two board members have that they want to question or correct, then we'll let them do that. But I have no problem starting there.
Okay. Did you all, I mean, we could also put on the table yours so that we can have a complete list. I didn't get any emails from you guys.
I didn't see the memo. I didn't have any objections to the memo as Tom.
You were completely fine with it?
Yeah.
The only comments I received were from yourself and Ms. Schneider, and I did write a response to your questions.
Let's start with yours, because you actually cover it as well.
Okay. So the first item I had was, again, on the term limits language that it seemed that we had three members who supported term limits of 4 to 5 terms, and that there was a consensus that short term limits of 2 to 3 terms were not in the best interest of the public. So that would be that we have a majority supporting term limits, and I think that is what should be presented.
Okay, well, I think what would be most helpful to the council is if we, and we may just have to do it on a couple of these items tonight, is just entertain a specific motion about what the specific recommendation to the council would be regarding term limits. So if somebody wants to make a motion to recommend one particular
and Pam had drafted language that didn't get included, that she had a whole provision that she had drafted with a lot of details that didn't get included in the memo, and that provided a good example of proposed language, and we don't have that.
Well, I guess my question to you is, where is Tom's memo not right? I mean, if you look at his memo, it says there is not a clear consensus supporting term limits. Chairman Capco and Vice Chairman McCarthy did not support term limits. If there were to be term limits, Mr. Keller believed that 5 terms should be a limit, provided, however, Councilman Mayor, Zimmer, Ms. Schneider did not necessarily support term limits. However, And Pam, you know, he kind of put everybody's positions there, right?
No, but I do support term limits of 4 or 5 terms. So if you have 3 members supporting term limits of 4 or 5 terms out of 5 members, that's a majority of the council, of the panel.
Well, can we just get, poll the individual, who's supports term limits of 4 or 5, 4 terms or 5 terms? I mean, why can't you just get to the heart of the question there?
Yeah,
if, and then we'll find out if there's a consensus.
Yeah. And just so you know, after much debate and thought of it, actually reviewing the data that was presented with the amount of terms that's been supported, I mean, I've kind of flopped back over to I don't necessarily support term limits, so I think I would change my vote at this point. But I guess that's the risk of having another meeting. Yeah, had some time to think about it and digest it all, okay. Read the points. And
so, is that a motion to recommend not changing, not implementing term limits?
I mean, I guess if we're going to take a vote on what our positions are or whatever.
Well, then we have to have a detailed motion. I mean, I don't know. So we had a very long discussion and came out with one place, and now we're coming out with a completely different place based on not a very detailed discussion or review of the language that Pam had set forward. I mean, I just...
Well, not necessarily. You said you don't support term limits, but if there were term limits...
I said that was the other problem. Right, it was not accurate. I said I didn't support 2 to 3 terms, the short-term limits, and I think that was a consensus. Of all of us together, 5-0, did not believe that the short-term limits, such as Palm Beach Gardens has, is appropriate for Jupiter. And so then the next question was, do we believe that a different term limit scheme, 4 or 5 terms, was appropriate? And at that point, we had 3 people who thought that, yes, something like that was something that should be considered for the charter. And that's how that was my understanding.
If you get a motion and second on the floor, you can discuss it. I mean, that's the purpose of trying to get to some finality here, but just continuing to discuss it, not reaching a conclusion, is going to lead to another report that says there was no conclusive decision by the committee on whether or not to have term limits, or there wasn't a consensus for 4 terms versus 5 terms. But I mean, you need to reach a decision. You can have all the discussion you want about it, but individuals need to be clear on what they're voting on.
And the best way to do that is we have a motion just made to not implement term limits in the town charter.
I make that motion.
Yeah, that's what I thought I understood. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Now discussion on the motion.
Well, I mean, we had said before that, we didn't agree with that, but we thought that there should be some upper limit or cap. I thought the language that Pam had provided last time was an excellent example of a term limit provision that could work. I don't think people should be permitted to remain in office in perpetuity. I think after 4 or 5 terms, that's sufficient for them to have gained knowledge and use that knowledge to the benefit of the residents. But at that point, I think it's time. At that point, there should be some change. So I support a term limit of 4 or 5 terms. And I don't support continuing the current process of no term limit.
Any other discussion?
I agree with what Cheryl said.
Right. Yeah. And I'll just say that I understand, and I agree that there's some merit to what some of the things that you have brought up about term limits. It's not there. I don't believe they're all evil, but in some, with my experience in government, I don't find them to be useful, and I think they can be a deterrent in some instances to getting the best candidates to serve the town. So that's why I'm going to vote in support of the motion.
So
any further discussion?
I have a discussion on that point. A deterrent because you might not get somebody who wants to be in there for 20 years.
What it means is that somebody...
Why are you deterring?
Because that may be the best person. person is already in the position, and then you said, well, you've done a great job for 16 years. You're the best mayor we've ever had, and you're willing to continue on, and everybody supports you, and you'd get 95% of the vote, but we're not going to let you do it just because we feel we have to have term limits come hell or high water. So that's the scenario. Do we have any other discussion? Okay, could you please poll the committee?
William Jeffco?
Yes.
Tom McCarthy?
Yes.
Christopher Keller?
Yes.
Cheryl Snyder?
No.
Pamela Wilson?
No.
And it'll be clearly noted in the minutes, Sally, that it was not a unanimous vote, that it was a 3-2 vote in favor of that motion.
Yes.
Okay.
So we try to put the reason.
Okay. Great. That's what we're hoping, so that council will understand the reasoning behind everybody's position without going into detail. Okay. What's next on Cheryl's list?
The next point was when we were talking about the runoffs, I had wanted to make sure it was clear that the coin flip was conducted by the town clerk, just for any avoidance of doubt or there's no issues or questions about how the process would be carried out. And that was not included.
I remember we had discussion on that point, but I don't recall exactly what. I mean, I remember my position was that I have no problem with the clerk, and the clerk should probably be the one to do it, but I just didn't think it was appropriate to put it in a charter.
Well, if you don't put it in the charter, then that begs the question is, who does it, and what's the process for deciding who does it, and why leave an open question when you can quickly and easily specify that who does it?
Is there a motion to add conducted and called by the town clerk to the language?
I'll make that
motion. I second.
Okay, the motion and second. Okay. Any discussion on that?
Well, Tom, is it anywhere else? Other than the charter, is there somewhere that identifies what happens in a runoff? Who does the coin? I'm kind of with Bill. I don't know that it necessarily needs to be in a charter, but I also kind of agree with Cheryl that, well, where's the if there is a policy and procedure in place and we know where we go to find the policy and procedure and what happens, then it doesn't need to be in the charter. But if there's no policy and procedure, then let's answer the question.
It's in the charter for a
while. Well, this is in addition to the charter because the committee is recommending the elimination of runoffs. So this provision has to do with, well, what if you have two candidates that have the same number of votes? And since you don't have a runoff, or you got to decide it somehow.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it's rare, but there's no problem putting in the charter conducted and called by the town clerk.
No. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
So, Sally, we have a motion and a second. I think we do, correct? Yeah, Tom seconded it. So, if you could poll the committee.
William Jeffco?
Yes.
Tom McCarthy?
Yes.
Christopher Keller?
Yes.
Cheryl Snyder?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, Cheryl, do you want to explain your issues with the town attorney section?
Right, there was an addition to the town attorney section.
There was the additional two words by contract were inserted into your language. Mm-hmm. I don't have any difficulty with eliminating by contract. I mean, that it's the way it's done, but it's not going to make a difference if it's in the charter or not.
Okay. And then my other question was in item B, making sure that it was sufficiently broad to enable the town attorney to review all resolutions and ordinances for compliance with the comp plan and the town code and not just for legal sufficiency. So in my mind, there's a difference between saying, well, it's legally sufficient, it has these four provisions in it, or the broader review, and I just want to make sure that the scope is broad enough and that no one can say, oh, you can only see if it has in the right form or the right, you know, it's the right fonts or whatever. So I just want to make that clear.
Well, all I could tell you is that language is almost uniformly used by local governments, and the way that local government attorneys interpret that language is when they're saying legally sufficient, they are saying that it meets and is consistent with the terms of law.
Can we just say that then?
I wouldn't recommend it. I would recommend staying with the procedure that's been in place in most locales for 100 years or whatever time period they've been there. I mean, if you want to make a motion and the committee supports it, you can. But
so what is the problem with doing it Cheryl's way? I mean,
well, Cheryl specifically,
do it the way it's been done 100 years. That I mean, we don't always do things forever. So
because I think she's asking me, if you refer to her last sentence, what she's asking me to do is to usurp the council's authority and make a determination of consistency with the comprehensive plan, and that's not my role.
What's to make a recommendation about whether it's
well, the staff is reviewing documents and making a recommendation on a plan amendment and then a development order on whether it's consistent or not. And all of the development orders that come to the council, in the whereas clause, there are findings that say whereas the conditions contained herein are necessary to render the application consistent with the comprehensive plan, whereas the conditions that are contained herein are necessary in order for the application to meet the land development regulations of the town. Those are standard findings that are contained in the council's documents that are presented to them.
No, I understand that, but I've just seen occasions where in one proceeding, comp plan provision is interpreted one way, and in another proceeding, it's interpreted a different way. And it would just seem to me that at some point, you got to have a referee to decide what's the consistent interpretation of a provision. And I would think that would belong to the town attorney. Now, you could always say, well, council can ignore your advice that this is not a consistent interpretation, but I have seen too many times on planning and zoning where the same provision is applied differently in different situations, and it shouldn't be. And so to me, this is a responsibility for the general counsel, town attorney, to have some consistency in the interpretation and application of the laws. And that's why my concern is that the language here sets too low of a bar and doesn't make it clear that there's a larger role here that should be played.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we drop by contract. This is regarding the item number 3.
Correct.
But that we leave the other element as is. That's my motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion, second. Is everybody clear on what Mr. McCarthy's motion is, which is to accept the request to remove by contract?
I think we should separate.
Well, he's got a motion and okay. It's seconded.
Okay.
So okay. I don't think he needs to separate them if he doesn't want to.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Okay, Sally?
William
Hatfield? Yes.
Tom McCarthy?
Yes.
Christopher Keller?
Yes.
Cheryl
Snyder? No.
Kay Morfield?
Okay, motion carries once again, 3-2. Okay, next on the list, initiative.
Right, the initiative, we had discussion about the percentage. I thought we had agreed that 20% was too high a threshold and that we were looking for something closer to 10%, or, you know, we had bantered around 15%. But I didn't support the 20%, and I thought that was the discussion.
Okay, and the current status of the charter with regard to the initiative is?
20%.
20%.
And I'd stated that because of, you know, the number of seasonal residents that we have, plus all the unincorporated pockets, that 10% was a better number.
Of course, the unincorporated pockets and the seasonal residents, well, the unincorporated pockets don't vote in the town.
I know they don't vote.
And the seasonal residents largely don't.
Well, some seasonal residents are registered voters.
Correct.
In the state of Florida, and they can vote. The point about the unincorporated pockets is that because, you know, Jupiter's jurisdictional lines are so intermixed that you have a lot of people who are interested in things and who want to participate and find out at the last minute that they can't. And so, because it's, you know, it's not like there's just one block where it's unincorporated. It's all through the town. And it makes it more difficult if you're trying to gather signatures because people suddenly don't realize, oh, I didn't realize I wasn't in the town of Jupiter. I'm an unincorporated Palm Beach County. And because of that, and it's all very close together, I thought it was more reasonable to have it be 10%.
Tom?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we recommend changing that 20% requirement to 15%.
Okay, and that's with regard to the initiative?
Yes, four, item four.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, there's a motion and second. Any discussion on that? Everybody clear with the motion? Okay. Sally?
Lady Jacko?
No.
Tom McCarthy?
Yes.
Christopher Keller?
No.
Cheryl Snyder?
Yes.
Pam Warshaw?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries 3-2. Another shocking 3-2 vote. Sally?
Not to prolong this, but if you do have a no vote and you want me to list, if there's a reason, let me know, and if not, I will not.
Okay. Concerned about it. Thank you.
Okay, the other item that I had pulled out from the memo had to do with signatures for a petition for reconsideration. We had some discussion about what that section was supposed to mean, and I had interpreted it as it provides the ability for the voters to have an item reconsidered at the town council level, which is different than placing an item on the ballot. And there was some discussion about what this section really meant.
So I'm confused I agree with you with what you're reading of it, but what's the problem with Tom's memo?
Because the title of it is submittal of ordinance to referendum. And my understanding was that this was a procedure for reconsideration by the council, not for a referendum or an initiative.
Pull out the old actual language here and find it.
I think it clearly says that it's to be considered an ordinance, not as a referendum as the ballot. I think the section's pretty clear.
It talks about ordinance. It should not go into adoption, into effect until after 15 days. Okay. And the residents have a chance to issue a petition, and if you get 10%, then the council has to reconsider the ordinance.
Yeah.
And then only after that, then you get to the referendum portion. And so perhaps it's a matter of changing the title to say signatures for petition for reconsideration, because that is what you would, the main driver of the process there.
That section.
So you're not suggesting changing the text, you're just suggesting that we need to change the title or section.
I think so, to make it clear that this is, it's a separate process, and that there is that right to go in and ask for reconsideration.
Mm-hmm. What would you recommend the title be?
Signatures for petition for reconsideration.
She wrote it down on here. Signatures for petition for reconsideration.
Or if you have some other.
No, I just want to know what I'm anticipating. You're going to make a motion and it's going to pass, so I want to write it down so I have it.
Yeah, I would. Signatures required for petition for reconsideration.
Okay.
Correct.
And then in that section, you all have previously changed in the first line 10 days to 15 days.
Correct.
And in the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth line, it's also 15 days.
Correct. And that makes it clear if someone is looking through to find out what they can do, they understand that this is the section that they go to. Otherwise, it would be very confusing.
And just as a clarification, did we say 15 working days? Didn't we come up with that?
There was a suggestion, but it was not the consensus.
Was not the consensus. Okay, I couldn't remember that.
The minutes show that the three people that supported the 15 days was Tom McCartney, Cheryl and Payne.
Yeah, I think we had settled on 15.
Because I knew you were concerned.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Doesn't mean you can't.
Oh, so
that's fine. I just
motion to amend the draft memo to show that the title of section one here would be signatures required for petition for reconsideration instead of submittal for ordinance to referendum. And we had already approved 15 days, but and to make the changes for the 15 days. From 10.
It's to amend the chart, recommend amending the charter.
Recommend amending the charter.
Not the memo.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
A second.
Is it a good time? If there's misspelled words, do you want to know?
If it's in the charter.
Yeah, it's ordinances is spelled wrong. You might want to. I saw it a couple of places that it was wrong. I just want to put a spell checker on it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to go back to the person 60 years ago. That
yeah.
It's wrong right there. You can see it's just a little typo.
No, that's in the memo.
Oh, that's the memo. Well, I don't know if that's
direct
from the...
Oh, I thought you just copied it.
You copied it.
No.
Oh, okay.
I always spell ordinance wrong. Oh. If I don't catch it in spell check, it goes... Sometimes it goes out. Ordinance as in like a bomb.
Oh.
Okay. Well, sometimes it's pretty much the same thing, depending on what the subject matter of the ordinance is.
Who likes it or not.
Yeah.
So we're going to the motion and a second?
Yeah, we have a motion and we have a second, right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, any more discussion?
Jacko?
Yes.
Tom McCartney?
Here, yes.
Chris Keller?
Yes.
Cheryl Snyder?
Yes.
Dan Hosley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Those are the comments I had. Dan, you had?
Align work with the term limits. Yeah, my question before was the 15 working days. You don't need to go over my email.
Okay. Is there anything else other than that that we haven't covered yet?
I think we've covered everything in the memo. I don't know if there were any other, you know, that now we've had time to reflect if there are any other issues or things anybody wants to bring up or look at.
Anything else from this end of the table?
No, thank you.
Well, I had a question. Going back to the role of the town manager, just given the whole recent negotiations with the police for their new contract, if we wanted to look to see if there should be a role for council in that process, because right now there is not a role for council, and I didn't know if there was a way for council to have delegated authority to the town manager or for their way to...
That's collective bargaining, and council has a big role in collective bargaining. They determine whether the contract... first they determine whether they're at impasse or not and whether to impose the contract. And if not, then they determine whether to agree to the changes to the contract that have been collectively bargained.
So I guess there's some impression that there's no, that the council is not involved.
Well, they're not supposed to be involved under the statute until the two parties, the individuals or groups that are bargaining, have reached either a decision, an agreement, or impasse. And then council acts to either, council can reject the agreement of the parties, or they can accept the agreement, or they can modify the agreement, or if they reach impasse and council agrees they're at impasse, they can impose a contract on them, and then that goes to a whole nother forum. Okay. So the collective bargaining statute specifically excludes council from that stage we were in the other night. The only reason that council got involved in it was because you saw the chambers full of people, and gotcha, they kind of put the council in the position of having to direct the manager later to do something.
Having had the good fortune to have been asked to attend that meeting for other purposes, that was just matters by the public, correct?
Yeah.
It wasn't an agenda item.
Citizen
so
comments.
That's what was lost kind of in the translation, was that was not an actionable item at that point in time anyway.
No, I understood it was citizen comments. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
How do we wrap this up?
Well, I think we haven't wrapped. Yeah, with adjourning, I don't think that there's, unless there's a major outbreak of hostilities in the town, I don't think we need another meeting unless somebody can correct me.
Well, I guess I just want to know what the process is for reviewing and approving the final report that goes to council.
Well, all that's going to be in the report is what you recommended as far as changes to the charter. So, I could circulate if you want.
But yeah, I think that would be helpful. And then if, certainly anybody here has the ability, if you feel strongly about something that either we recommended or we didn't recommend, to talk to council members individually. So that's, we always have that ability. So if they want to talk to us.
Will we receive a copy of the final recommendation?
This time you'll get it before it goes anywhere else.
We'll get it in draft form and...
You've had that discussion in my office.
I bet you did.
Then I would say, you know, why don't we express any comments in email and not meet again? Be nice to have everybody agree on what it is.
Well, we have recorded votes.
Right.
So unless the clerk made a mistake in recording...
There's going to be something that goes to council, and I'd like to look at it.
Okay.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Any other... We have no other action items on the agenda. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.